Icy water was thrown over the prisoner. Most of the blood was sluiced off his lean body. A sec man with a whip stepped forward.
Now me!
The whip cracked. Jack flinched as a white-hot pain hit his wounded shoulder, the flesh swelling red immediately.
Gonna take his eyes. He cut off Dogger's balls with that fucking knife. I want his eyes.
Dogger's still alive?
Christ, no. I blew his brains out. Had to. He was my bud.
Fucking mutie.
The sergeant slammed a knee between Jack's legs. Pain filled his world until the teenager couldn't hear or see anything. Swirling clouds of red cloaked his vision. Slowly, the mists faded, and Jack vomited on the floor, heaving and retching.
Make you eat that later. Better yet, make the freak eat some glass and watch him die from the inside.
Just set him on fire!
Talk, mutie! What are you doing here? Stealing food? Trying to free the slaves? Ace the Baron?
Are there any more of you?
Summoning strength from somewhere, Jack pursed his bleeding lips and started to whistle a happy tune. Infuriated, the sec man slapped him in the face.
Call your sister. A small child. He'd hit harder.
Grabbing a chair, the sec man charged forward, but the sergeant shoved him aside. The furniture smashed on the brick wall beside the teenager, splinters spraying from the crash.
You fool! How are we gonna ask a corpse anything? Get out of here and get a kid.
Smiling at the suggestion, the Blue hurried from the room, glaring at the prisoner as the door slowly closed. The sergeant grabbed Jack's ear and hauled him around.
As for you, you're gonna tell us what's going on, or we'll have to get nasty.
Jack said nothing until the sec man returned with a little girl in tow. The sergeant stroked the trembling child.
We lost most of the slaves to a mutie attack, but not all. We found her hiding under a pile of rags. Too small for cooking or sex. What are we gonna do with a little kid? Got no use for her.
The little girl looked at Jack with eyes of terror as the sergeant leveled a blaster to the child's head and clicked back the hammer.
Talk.
Jack slumped in the chains. He had been tortured many times before, but this was a new tactic, and one he had no defense against. He couldn't talk. It would mean the deaths of his friends. The child was a stranger, and his first allegiance would always be to his friends.
Talk!
Jack looked him straight in the eye.
No.
Maybe if they thought it was hopeless, they wouldn't kill the child. It wouldn't serve any purpose then.
What a mess. Blame yourself, lady. We didn't have to chill her. You made us.
Staring at the monsters, Jack put every ounce of strength he possessed into a long string of gutter
Goddamn
curses,
damning
them
bitch.
In every way he
Cut
knew,
your heart out of-
his ruby eyes staring
bastard,
at the men
sucking, cock,
and radiating a savage intensity
Goddamn,
that almost
son of a
broke
bitch.
Their nerve. The sergeant pulled out a knife with a serrated edge, turning it so that the jagged steel caught the lantern light and threw a rainbow of colors across the tiny room.
I'll make them see.
Reaching the largest brick building in the compound, the companions watched a tall man in a blue shirt leave the building through an electric fence and head into the darkness with a gangly stride. Ryan pointed the Sig Sauer at the insulated wires touching the fence and fired twice. The coughs were lost in the gentle mountain wind, but a pair of wires fell from the sky, sparking briefly at the contact, then stopped. A guard stepped from the shadows, zipping up his pants at the noise, and walked closer. Mildred fired from the ground, and the man staggered backward with the feather end of an arrow jutting from his jaw, the rest of the shaft going through his mouth and pinning it closed. Ryan fired, and the corpse sat on the ground and stayed there, as if he were merely tired and taking a rest. Sliding through the fence, the companions reached the front door, and Christy listened carefully. She held up an open hand with splayed fingers, then closed it into a fist, next raising one, two, three fingers. Ryan gestured back and forth, and she replied by pointing two fingers to the left, one to the right. Nodding in understanding, Ryan stepped closer to the door and eased out the half clip in the Sig Sauer, gently sliding in a fully loaded magazine. Dropping his spoon into the bowl of stew, a blue shirt grabbed his blaster and snapped the bolt. His comrade took the corncob pipe from his mouth and exhaled a long stream of smoke at the ceiling.
What's wrong?
Heard a noise.
The corporal rose from the table and headed for the door.
Maybe it's Colette finally coming back.
Bad for her if it is. Baron wants her dead now. Guess she ain't so special as we heard, boys.
It's all the same to me.
The corporal paused near the door, his hand almost touching the handle. There was an odd smell in the air, and he sniffed. Grease. It smelled like axle grease from the wheel bearings of a wag. A private was spitting on a whetstone, sharpening his new knife again. The sergeant smoked his pipe contentedly in the corner. Nobody here had been working on a wag today, so where was the smell coming from? Then the corporal vaguely recalled Colette saying how axle grease made for a good stain if you were doing a night creep.
Oh, fuck!
The corporal dived for the locking bolt. The door burst open, driving him backward. A big man stepped into the room, a sleek blaster at his side, blowing silent flame. The private grew a third black eye in his forehead and tumbled off the stool, the knife and whetstone flying into the air. The sergeant cursed and stood, trying to draw his own hand cannon, and an arrow thumped into his chest. The grizzled veteran slammed against the wall and still managed to draw his weapon when the big man fired his fancy blaster three more times, the impacts slapping the sergeant around and around until he collapsed in the corner on top of a blood-stained chair covered with chains. Scrambling under the table for his blaster, the corporal grabbed the weapon and rolled, attempting to fire from a prone position. The long blaster in his hand spoke once, the slug ricocheting off the wall near a stocky woman who was entering the armory holding a crossbow. Shitfire! His weapon was still set on single fire! Desperately, he thumbed the selector to full auto, and he saw the woman cast the crossbow aside and draw a revolver with amazing speed. He swung the long blaster toward her, but he saw her weapon spit fire first. Then everything went black. Suddenly, the interior door slammed open, and Ryan stitched the sec man standing there with a Kalashnikov. The body flew back into the room, and the companions followed. Sheffield was at a gun rack with six other sec men, hastily loading blasters. Ryan and Christie hosed the group with streams of bullets, bodies falling in every direction. Only Sheffield still moved on the floor, clawing for the blaster at his hip. Ryan fired again, the floorboard splintering between his hand and the revolver.
Thought you'd be wearing a bulletproof vest.
Ryan hauled the man up by his shirt. Christie nudged the Baron with her long blaster.
Where's the white hair?
Silas is dead. One eye here chilled him days ago.
Ryan slapped the man across the face with his pistol, and teeth landed on the floor.
We got no time for horse shit, so speak fast or die. Where's the albino being held captive? Long hair, lots of knives.
JB walked into the room, cradling his S&W shotgun.
If you don't know, then you aren't any good to us.
Glancing toward the power plant, Ryan asked the armorer a silent question, and JB shook his head. Fire blast. 10 minutes before all hell broke loose. Sheffield noticed they seemed rushed, nervous. Maybe his troopers were on the way. He decided to play for more time.
Fuck you.
Ryan fired his blaster and scored a bloody graze along Sheffield's head, then pressed the hot barrel against the Baron's cheek. The flesh sizzled from the contact.
Where is he?
All right! He's in the small room at the far end of the slave quarters.
Is that your prison?
Christie filled her pockets with loaded clips from the gun rack.
Interrogation room.
Ryan hauled the man upright and threw him toward the doorway.
Show me.
He jabbed Sheffield along with the fluted muzzle of the Kalashnikov. Annoyed, the sec men stepped away from their prisoner, their knives dripping blood. 100 shallow cuts crisscrossed his chest, warm blood running down his stomach and thighs. But Jack still refused to speak. Once you started, it was impossible to stop. He had been tortured enough before to know that for a fact, and he only had to stay alive for another 10 minutes or so. Just long enough to see their faces when the boilers blew and the base was obliterated. Unfortunately, something had to have shown on the teenager's face as the sergeant frowned.
This ain't balls. The freak knows something.
Crap. Maybe there are more of them.
Got a rescue planned or something. Sound the alarm. Rally the troops.